This is Shaw. We made it to Ashborough. There was a thunderstorm, so we've taken shelter inside some of the remaining structures. The rain has been beating down ever since. If it keeps up like this, continuing on won't be an option tomorrow. We'll have to wait it out. It's a strange place, this Ashborough. The Lost Colony. Not what I expected. Well, not sure what I was expecting, but whatever it wasn't covered in mossy fungus thicker than a shag carpet. Disgusting stuff is everywhere. There were only traces when we crossed the boundary, but since yesterday, the forest is more red now than green. You can't avoid it. We have to clear out empty patches of ground so we can pitch our tents. None of the men want to sleep on this stuff. And after listening to the Doc's final transmissions, I don't blame them. I've heard the end of our tapes, but I haven't told the men. Maybe you already briefed them, like you did me. They avoid the fungi like everyone here, but do they know it was the reason why Ashborough was deserted? Do they know what happened to the people here? What did this place call them? The Rashka? Somehow, I don't think so. If the rest of the team knew what I did, if they found out what happened to the Ashborough colonists, I don't think they'd be so willing to join this crusade. Because if they did, I'd expect they'd be double-checking the seals on their respirators right now.
This is Dr. Wood. After the revelation about the Ashborough colonists, I pestered my host with questions. I needed to understand what exactly had happened. It took hours of explanation and clarification of several words before I learned the entire story. The Lurik tribe never made contact with the Ashborough colony. They watched our ships arrive from the safety of the trees. They were curious, but also suspicious, and also concerned, because our people had chosen to build the colony in what would become an expansive patch of the Crimson Frost. The Ashborough colonists didn't recognize it, of course. They must have considered it unusual. What wasn't on a new world, but didn't realise the danger. The Lurik admitted they made an error. Since we came from the stars, they had thought our people to be more powerful and to have a magic which could control the fungi. By the time they realised we were helpless, it was too late. The colony became infected quickly and grew wild. Some of the colonists killed each other, but most scattered into the woods. The tribe could have perhaps saved them. The infection was still early on, but there were so many. The tribe has learned to live with them, but avoid them when they can. They told me stories of crossing paths with the infected in the forests. They consider it an ill omen. The Rashka wander similar paths at night, revisit the same places. I wonder if these are the remnants of old memories, synapses still firing in brains overwhelmed by the frost, drawing the host continually back to something they knew from before. There is a place in the forest where the Rashka are known to congregate. Many warriors recounted sightings there often. It is considered condemned, damned, unholy. They call this place Harug, the meadow. Despite these disturbing stories, I've been wondering if these Rashka, my fellow colonists, may yet be saved. Could the treatment I'd been given be effective on a subject who had been infected for so long? The tribes insist the Rashka are too far gone. Still, if I could use their formula, but synthesize a more powerful version and deliver it directly into the bloodstream, perhaps it's possible. Perhaps. I have to try.
Inspector Stokes. Case report 7599-Bravo. Last night was another attack, but this time it wasn't the farms. It was one of the supply rovers headed into town. Typically the transports happen during the day, but this rover had exceeded its weight capacity and blown a stabilizer. By the time the driver had made the repair and got back on the road, it was well after sunset. According to her report, something had run out in front of her. She'd swerved and wound up in the trees. It knocked her out cold, but when she came to, whatever it was on top of the rover. She could hear them prying the cargo doors open. She stayed in the cab while they ransacked the entire load. She didn't come out till morning. That makes 8 attacks total and over 20 sightings. They're getting bolder. The governor told me some of the new arrivals are threatening to back out of their land grants. And after this rover thing, he's getting worried there could be a threat to the colonists inside Sutter Station. Vantage has said every resource is at my disposal, which means if I don't figure this out, I'll be out of excuses and they can sink my ass. But I think the last attack may have revealed a common thread, maybe. It wasn't the settlements or settlers that were targeted. The farmers, the animals, the damaged equipment, all of that was incidental. It was the cargo manifest on the rover which caught my attention. The cargo rover had been loaded with Baru. I went through all the reports on every single attack. I found the same thing. All of the crops were growing Baru. Oftentimes it was their primary crop. When silos or barns had been damaged, it was after a recent harvest. Inversely, every farm without a Baru crop had been spared. Something else hit me as I looked through the reports. The Copeland farm, now Abe Cobb's land. He said he was dedicating most of his fields to Baru. The biggest Baru harvest this season. He hadn't been attacked yet, but there's no doubt in my mind now that he will be.
Teddy, it's Mom. We're almost to New Oasis Colony. Mr. Lincoln says we'll be there tomorrow afternoon. I'm anxious. This fungus, or is it fungi? I don't know. But it's everywhere. For the first time since I've arrived, the landscape actually looks alien. It's all red. It's strange. Your aunt never mentioned it in her messages, but Mr. Lincoln said it wasn't as common when they'd first arrived. Speaking of Mr. Lincoln, it's clear he's become more and more uncomfortable as our journey's gone on. This place, and maybe the impending return to his old colony, is taking a toll. We almost didn't make it this far. And then there was the incident today. We'd stopped to rest and eat our midday meal. While I ate, he stepped away to relieve himself. I watched the trees and waited for him to return. I could hear his footsteps crashing through the growth, but after a few minutes, it grew silent. When he didn't come back right away, I got nervous. And when he was gone longer, I began to panic. I thought maybe he'd left. Maybe he'd given up trying to convince me to turn around and decided to abandon me there. I called out. But I didn't get a response. My heart was racing. After several more calls with no response, I went to look for him. I traced his steps, pushing through the trees to where I'd heard his last sounds. I didn't get far. He appeared suddenly. He was running back toward me, and we nearly collided. He was pale and out of breath and startled. Something else had rattled him. I asked him what he'd seen, but he insisted it was nothing. He also insisted we return to the clearing. Once again, he tried to convince me we should return to Sutter Station. He implored me to reconsider. He even said the money didn't matter. We argued for a long time before I finally managed to calm him down. In the end, he relented and agreed to continue. But he still refused to tell me what he'd seen that had shaken him. He swears he was just in a hurry to get out of the trees. But I can't believe that. What had frightened him so badly? He'd seen something.
Dear, dear Hannah. It's been quite a while since my last message. Several days have gone by, and I haven't seen the figures again. But, if I'm being honest, the incidents made me jumpy. Whenever I work outside, I'm on edge. I keep looking over my shoulder, expecting to see them standing there in the field again. Every time Copper barks, it startles me. I'm not proud to admit it. When the sun goes down, Copper and I retire to the farmhouse, and I have to admit, I feel relief. At least in here, I don't feel like the trees are watching me. It's frustrating. Well, now that the berry harvest is coming in, I can't spare the time with these worries. If I'm to get all my crops sold before season's end, I need to start taking advantage of what little daylight I have. If I don't hurry, the crops will spoil, and, well, I wonder if it might be prudent to hire some help from Sutter. What in God's name? There's something outside. I saw someone. Something. Through the window. There it is again! Hannah, it's at the door.
It's me again. I've made a big mistake, Art. A big mistake. I mean, sure, I need the scratch. But this is a suicide mission. I'll give Ava some credit. She's determined. And even though I can see the forest and this damned fungus bothers her, she's stubborn. She needs to see for herself. She needs to see the knock. We'll be there soon enough. And then I can get the hell out of here. I'm not gonna lie. I've considered leaving Ava an extra pack of food and going back without her. But, well, I guess my cowardice has some kind of limit. Time made me forget. Or all the drinking. As we get closer, things are getting clearer. And I'm starting to remember all the shit I tried so hard to forget. Ava doesn't understand. She wasn't there. She didn't see how crazy Moreau was. His insanity after Whitlock died. At least I was fortunate enough to get out of there before someone ratted me out. And what would have Moreau done to me then? Probably what he did to the others. I found some of them today. In the woods. I thought we might be close to the spot. Jesus, Art. They're still there. I'd gone into the forest a bit to go take a whiz. I hadn't planned to go far, but something caught my eye. It was one of the old robes they used to wear. It was hanging from a tree branch, dirty, covered in splotches of fungus. I noticed there were more, all of them strewn on the ground. It was like a trail, so I followed it. Only a short distance away, I found the rest. The clearing was exactly how we'd left it, how I remember it. The day of the massacre. The day I escaped. It was a pile of robes. Dozens of them in the middle of the forest. The old garments looked like they had been wrapped around bundles of gray branches, then stacked on top of each other. But they weren't branches. They were bones. It was a pile of bodies. The bodies of the children of the stars in the middle of the forest. Most of them still wore their black robes. True believers until the end.